Wonderful job. Come back next Sunday and get to hear some more from the choir. And it'll be singing a cantata next Sunday as well. At this time, I want to show you He Arose. It's a video clip. And you know, just picture yourself being at the foot of the cross. It could be you saying these words at the very beginning. Because there's a lot of confusion going on, a lot of pain within those who had to see this horrific, brutal crucifixion of our Savior. So you just imagine if you're standing at the cross and thinking this in your own heart and mind, and the response of those around.
I saw Jesus crucified. I spoke to him as he died. I saw him in his struggle. I watched as he breathed his last breath, and when he stopped breathing, I lost my breath too. The one who walked on water is no more. The one who fed 5,000 is now food for the worms, and if he has been defeated, what does that mean for me? I am nothing, and I left everything to follow him. If I knew it would have ended like this, well, I guess I may have reconsidered. I thought that he would be the king who would rise up and rule our nation. I thought that we were the ones to bring truth and revelation, but it turns out we were wrong. I mean, maybe we imagined this all along. As I watched his body taken down from the cross, I saw my friend was gone. He was the one who found me. How could this be? He must have gone before his time. It must have been too soon. It must have been an illusion or a dream. He can't be in a tomb. I can't come to grips with the thought that the man who claimed to be I Am was slain by the hands of men. And then, she burst through the door. Our friend Mary, she said, someone had taken the body of the Lord. So we ran to the tomb. Only to find an empty room, and the stone was rolled away. The Roman seal was broken, and in those days you did not mess with the Romans. So whoever did this was either bold or God. I looked on the floor, and I saw his clothes. And that's when I knew he rose. Jesus is alive. He did raise Lazarus from the dead and heal thousands. He did make the wine. He did talk to God. He did pray for those who put him on the cross, and he raised back to life. Just like Lazarus, except for he would never die again. Jesus took death. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. For you, he laid his life down. He took it back again. Jesus is alive.
Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Amen. He is alive. And now we're going to take a close look at the resurrection from the scriptures from Matthew chapter 28. If you would like to follow along with me on the screen or in your Bible, however you choose. Jesus is risen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him because they were like dead men. And the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he says, come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran and reported to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And he came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go, take the word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, while they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priest and all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the sailors and said, you are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And verse 15, and they took the money and did as they had been instructed, and this story was widely spread among the Jews, and it is this today. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it talks about the risen Lord. After 6 hours on the cross, Jesus cried, Telestai, which means it's finished. And then the Scripture said he died. You know, I'm here today to tell you that along almost all the people or everyone that was there that day, included his disciples, but Jesus shouted triumphantly over my dead body. I'm alive. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And then verse 4, and he was buried, that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. See, Jesus conquered death. He conquered hell and the grave. He rose again just as he promised. You know, he had been given these promises all through 3.5 years of his ministry. And a lot of times it fell on deaf ears. But Jesus said, I will rise. And just like at the end of the world is only the beginning, this was just the beginning for Jesus and all who would follow him and be saved. He was about to make all things new. Why? Because he is risen. See, I believe it's interesting that after Jesus said, it is finished, and died, from that point forward, no hostile hands were allowed to touch him at that point. See, it was if the Father said, okay, enough is enough, hands off. The soldiers who usually would have broken the legs of those that were being crucified were no longer allowed to do that. The Scripture tells us that Jesus' legs were not broken. And instead, they stuck a spear into his his chest cavity, and out flowed, the Bible says, blood and water. See, the blood is a symbolic, it's symbolic to us. For the continual fountain that flows in our lives, it's a continual flow of fountain which flows today to wash away our sins. See, the water suggests congestive heart failure. You know, we're all familiar with that, aren't we? Where fluid gathers up around your heart and it smothers you. Well, this is a continual fountain of flowing today that washes away our sin. The water suggests congestive heart failure. See, you could say that Jesus died of a broken heart as he hung there on the cross, and he died for our sins. You know why? Because he was thinking of us. That's why as he looked out over the people, he had compassion. He still loved those people that placed them there, even including us. That's why he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." See, not only did the soldiers never touch him again, they didn't even take him down as they usually would have. That job was granted to Jesus' followers, like Joseph, upon begging for it. He was a secret disciple. He was rich and not wholeheartedly at this time, but he was still a follower of Jesus. And with him, we know of the man that John talks about in John chapter 3 called Nicodemus, who similarly first came to Jesus kind of undercover at night. Kind of reminds me of Nick at Night. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus. He wanted to learn more about Jesus, and he did. Jesus told him what he needed to do to be saved. You got to be born from above. That's why Jesus came into this world, to save sinners just like yourself and myself. See, Jesus had suffered all kinds of physical abuse, all the terrible things that were placed upon a person being crucified, but Jesus was innocent. And he was abused and punished for at least 18 hours, but then suddenly, hands off. The Father says, hands off. And these two men took the body down, wrapped it for a burial, and laid it in a private garden tomb. See, even Pilate commanded that a seal be placed over the tomb, and guards posted at least at his body so that nobody would steal it. If they did, they would know about it. But we know it was the furthest thing from the disciples' minds, because they thought, well, the disciples, they will come and steal the body. But that was the furthest from their mind. They are elsewhere, hunkered down in a bunker somewhere, fearful for their own lives, hoping not to be tracked or killed themselves. See, it's amazing to me that the religious leaders said in Matthew 27:63, after these days, I will rise. They heard Jesus say that, and they said to Pilate, now he said that he was going to rise, be raised on the third day. And of course, he kept his promise. Five times, Jesus specifically told his disciples that he would rise again. In Matthew chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 20, and chapter 26 in Matthew alone, not counting the other disciples and the other books of the Bible, tells us that. Even told the disciples where to meet him after the resurrection. You see, that had just kind of skipped over their mind as well. But they have forgotten and are living like they have no hope. But you know, we have hope because he is risen. And meanwhile, the unbelievers remembered Jesus' words that he would rise again. So what a picture we see here this morning. It must have been the rock of ages sealed behind an aged rock. See, the light of the world is now shut up in darkness. See, the one who came to give life is now dead, but not for long, as the scripture tells us. You know, I don't care about the crucifixion because my Jesus is no longer on the cross, is he? He is risen. You know, we serve a living Savior, right? We serve a living Savior. See, the gospel, which means the good news. And I think that's good that we name, you know, the Good News Club, the Good News, because we're teaching children about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're teaching about Jesus. And you see, it wouldn't be good news if he had not died for us and not risen again. It wouldn't have been good news, but it is because it is the gospel. Now let's look at four purposes quickly that Jesus' resurrection from the grave. Why he had to literally rise from the dead. It was for a purpose. And the first purpose is his resurrection was a single sign of his deity. See, he claimed to be God, but this was the day he proved it when he rose again. Many have made the claim, but never has any of them beaten death like Jesus. He beat death. See, doing miracles wasn't enough. Others in the Bible worked miracles, but was a sign that they were of God. But only the resurrections could prove that he was God. Even the Antichrist will be able to work miracles. It's taught in Revelation. But once he is sent to hell, it is never to rise again, but not Jesus. Because you can't keep the God-man down. See, many wanted a sign. When Jesus was going around doing good, many people wanted a sign. Show us a sign. Show us your wonders. Then we'll believe. And see, Jesus did all of that, and they still didn't believe. See, he said, only signs you'll see is Jonah. See, 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, and then I'll come forth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and declare to the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. See, that showed his deity. Then next, the resurrection from the grave proved that his resurrection verifies the truth of scriptures. See, the Bible falls apart if he remained dead. But since he arose, we have proof that the Bible is true. See, the Old Testament made numerous predictions about the proof of Jesus Christ would be raised. He's the true Messiah. He came to save us from our sins. See, the odds against that, it was the next impossible that the Jews would kill their own Messiah. And no one had beaten death before until now. Now, next thing, Jesus' resurrection secures our future resurrection. In John chapter 14, verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. You shall live also. What a great promise for each one of us. You see, Jesus said, yes, I'm going to die, but I will be raised. The Father will raise me on the third day. So if Jesus lives, so with us. What a truth. Do you believe that this morning? If Jesus lives, you will live also. That's a great truth for us to behold. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. See, one of these days, you know, all of our loved ones who have gone before us, you know, if we're still here, they'll be raised before us. Do you know that? The Bible says the dead in Christ will be raised first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord. What a great reunion that's going to be. What a great reunion. You know, we still have, some families have reunions, don't they? They get together every year, some are every 5, every 10 years. And you're glad to see them, right? But it won't be anything greater than when we meet our loved ones who have been gone for years and years. When we meet them and see them once again and get to continue on our reunion with them and our fellowship and our times together. We grieve and we're you know, sorrowful when they pass. And we're thinking, oh, I'd never see them again. But according to Scripture, we will see one another again. We will be known as we're known. Just in a glorified state, in a glorified body that will last forever and ever and ever. See, we have hope in death. Because Jesus conquered death for us, we also can conquer death. The resurrection completes the gospel. And then we see that his resurrection starts his ministry of the high priest. See, he's our mediator. He's our intercessor. So we can go to him anytime. Now, if you have any trouble going to somebody that you know, a friend or something, to talk to them about personal problems and so forth, sometimes you might be a little bit embarrassed about it or think, well, should I share this with someone? See, we can always go to the Father. We don't have to go to any man or any priest or anything, as the Old Testament teaches us. We can go directly to the Father. And he loves for you to come and sit down and spend time with him. See, he is our mediator. He's our intercessor. When we don't even know how to pray, he will pray for us, with us. See, we can go to the Father without the help of any human person, priest, such as in the Old Testament. In verse 51, tradition states that two team members or two horses could not have torn the veil in the temple because it was torn from top to bottom. Otherwise, it would have been probably torn from the bottom to the top. But no one could have done that. Even a team of horses could have done that. And to verify that he is our high priest, he's our mediator, he's our comforter. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. You see, we believe whatever has been placed in our hearts to believe about Jesus Christ, what we've read, what he has instilled or placed in our heart. That's our profession. And he will agree with us when we are on the same page with him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. See, he wants us to come boldly to him, as humble as a child. And it says that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Even though we're sinners, we fall short of the glory of God, he is a forgiving Savior. See, Matthew closes this chapter with always. Always. Sometimes we say, never say always, But in this particular case, you can claim the word always, because Jesus says, I'll always be with you. What a tremendous assurance was for the disciples and those. I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. In Matthew chapter 1, going back to chapter 1, he was the Emmanuel, God with us. And here he's affirming that name, that he is with us through the Holy Spirit. He's with us through his word. By his providential care, he is with us. His divine presence. In a setting such as this, he is right here. And we should acknowledge him even more since we're celebrating his resurrection, because he loves us. This is a promise that carried the missionary David Livingstone into the heart of the darkest part of Africa, and that encouraged and enabled messengers of Christ down through the years. David Livingstone gave of himself, and he went to the darkest parts of the world, into Africa, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he believed in the risen Lord. He believed in the risen Savior. See, Matthew ends his gospel with a responsibility on the part of the Christian to take the gospel into all the world. And that's why he says, wherever you go, I'll be with you. As he told our forefathers, Abraham and Joshua, wherever you go, look as far as you want to look, and I'll be there. I'll prepare the way for you. And it is our responsibility as believers, as Christians, to share what we believe in our own heart, that Christ is risen from the dead. See, the Lord wants you to share your faith. He wants you to share your testimony, your witness. Will everybody that you share be saved? No. Everybody that I've ever talked to or witnessed to were saved at that moment. But you see, you're sowing that seed. Jesus sowed many, many seeds. Everybody that Jesus shared his life with did not accept him. And when you share and they don't accept you, they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting the most important person in this world that ever came to die for our sins, and that's Jesus Christ. But you know what? Everyone that walks this earth deserves an opportunity to receive the gospel. And you know what? You may be the only one, the only Bible they ever read, they ever see in their life. So, if you're here today, and if you know that you are a child of God, you know what? You can say, I am with, Jesus says, I am with you always. But you know what? In the conclusion of this, if you know that you are a Christian and you are a child of God, and you can sing or you can say, you ask me how I know he lives. He what? He lives within my heart. We sing. That's a song called He Lives. If you're a child of God, you can say that or you can sing that because you know it's true. Amen? You know it's true. May we pray. Father God, we just praise your holy name this morning. We know that you're real. We know that you're alive. And we can sing that song. He lives, he lives. Yes, I know he lives because he lives within my heart. There may be some here today that can't say that because they haven't accepted you as their personal Savior. Lord, here's an opportunity on this special day, the day that you arose from the grave. Your Holy Spirit is at work and alive today. Because as you told the disciples, if I don't go back to the Father, then the Spirit will not come. But we know that you ascended into the sky, back to heaven. And the Holy Spirit has always existed. But the power of that you have given the churches to minister and to witness, Lord, you work through us. You work through the church. And as we sit here today in our pews and as we stand on the word of the Lord. We have that hope. We have that assurance. If we ask and repent of our sin, to forgive us of our sin, you will save us. Lord, if there's anyone here today that hasn't taken that step, Lord, we just pray through your Spirit. You move in a mighty way in this congregation today. All we have to do is call upon the holy name of Jesus, repent of our sin, we shall be saved. Lord, we just pray that we, as we are here today, will renew our relationship with you, our fellowship with you, that we see how important it is to walk the newness of life, the new life that you have given us through the resurrection. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 385, Near the Cross. May we stand as we sing.